As you read through the book of Matthew, you twice we come across a statement of Jesus, and we want to look at that statement this morning. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 12, and it's interesting here to note, and we'll note here that Matthew would have a good memory of this, of what he's recorded for us here. Matthew is this writer, as we believe. Matthew chapter 9, let's look at verse 9. This is where Jesus comes and he calls Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Luke also records this calling of Matthew, and Luke is called Levi. But in Luke, when he records it, he does not give us the record of these words, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. But we can see how important this conversation is for Matthew. It says in Luke that he was the one who gave the great feast. And he talks, Matthew says they sat down to eat at the house. Looks like he went to Matthew's house. And so Matthew would have been very pleased at this, to have Jesus to come to his house and to eat. And Luke says that he had a great feast. This would have been a very high point for Matthew. He would have been very happy at what was going on, to have Jesus and his disciples eating at his house and eating and him giving a feast. More people came to it. But then we see that the Pharisees came and they said, Why does Jesus eat with the publicans and the sinners? Have you ever had someone come and burst your bubble like that? You're having a really good time and you're really a high note, feeling really happy, and someone else comes along and insults you, really knocks the joy out of the moment. A moment like that can really hurt. And a moment like that is not easy to forget. And I would imagine that Matthew could never forget this moment. And Jesus' reply, probably as Matthew recorded this, I would imagine that as he's writing it and recording it down in his gospel, that he could still remember the faces. He could remember the expressions on people's face as he's recording this. He would remember this moment very well. For Matthew, this is a moment experiencing God's love. He sees Jesus' mercy toward himself in this. I would think this is a very important moment for Matthew. And Jesus says, Go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And I bet Matthew wanted to know just what that meant. If Jesus told him to go and learn what it means, he remembered that statement of Jesus. He wanted to know what it meant also, I would imagine. Go and learn what this meaneth. As I studied this and looked at that statement, wondering about it, commentaries say that was a common statement, that they find it in a lot of the writers of the teachers of his time. They would use this statement a lot whenever they were teaching someone else. Go and learn what this means. That's a common statement. And so here we have these scribes and the Pharisees. They come and they're accusing Jesus of doing wrong. And Jesus uses this statement expressing how that he's teaching them. They may have been insulted at this, that the person that they were trying to correct is now telling them what they need to learn. Let's look at the second time that Jesus uses this and tells them that they need to know this statement, that I will have mercy. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Again, Matthew records this for us, that Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And he's referencing, it's something that they should know what it means. It's a quote, and we will get to that in a little bit and see where it's from. In Matthew chapter 12, we'll just start reading with verse 1. And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Again, we see the same kind of thing. They come to condemn someone. They come to say, this is wrong. People are doing something that's wrong. And Jesus telling them here some reason. He's explaining it to them a little better. And we see here that he mentions these two records where David went into the house when he had his men with him and they're running and leaving. And they go and they're hungry. And the priest gives them this bread and they ate this bread. And this bread was the bread that was given and they collected it and it was for the priest. And then also in the law, how that the priest, they don't observe the priest's own duty there. He wouldn't be observing the Sabbath. But that was in the law. That was not something that he was doing that's wrong. He said he was blameless. But these scribes and Pharisees, they kept this law and they had all of these things written as to what you could do and what you couldn't do. They were not supposed to work on the Sabbath. That was true. But as they looked at these men picking corn and eating it, they were saying, oh, they're out working. They're trying to make it as if they're out harvesting the corn when all they were doing was getting something to eat when they were hungry. Did not see this in the right light. They did not look at these men correctly as just something eating. And they didn't consider the second point of that what the men were doing, they were following Jesus. And Jesus is making this point out to them that, behold, one is greater than the temple. These were doing right. And Jesus said that in this next verse. If you look at the verse 7 that we want to read here about where he makes this statement again, where I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Says this, But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So we told them that they were condemning those that were guiltless. These men were not breaking the law that they were trying to condemn. So again, we see the same statement, the same thing happened. The Pharisees come condemn someone else, and Jesus is correcting them, and they said guiltless, and he tells them, here's what you need to learn. They still did not know. And Jesus is still telling them what they need to know. What this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. That's why the Pharisees made this mistake, is that they did not understand the statement. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So Jesus is trying to teach the Pharisees something, and I think by being recorded for us today, teach us something important, something from history. I see from this there are two lessons. One lesson is the go and learn, that he told them that they need to go and learn this lesson from history. And we need to stop and study our Bibles, and we need to go and look into the things that happened before. We need to look to history to learn. There's a statement I heard the other day, I guess, that they say that the only thing that we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. If you look back, you can see other people who didn't learn from history and make the same mistakes again that they should have learned. So we need the history as a way to learn and not make the same mistakes again. And the second thing would be to look at this statement and to learn what it means. What does it mean? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Here Jesus has made this statement twice to them. And as we read through Matthew, we see this statement here twice, and doesn't it make us want to know? Curious. Doesn't it make us interested to find out what does it mean? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Does it mean that God will have mercy? Well, God, does it mean the statement that some people may take of things about this life? Well, God's going to have mercy, so it doesn't really matter. Is that what it means? I will have mercy and not sacrifice? That the Jews should have not given sacrifice? Does it mean that we can go and commit sin for God is going to be merciful? The book of Romans tells us otherwise. It says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? If we're a Christian, we are to be dead to sin, not to continue in sin. God shows mercy. And that's true. God does show His mercy, and God will have mercy. But I think in this statement here where He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, I think what He says is that God wants from us instead of wanting from us sacrifice. I think that's what this statement is saying. It's mercy. He wants it from us. It's not saying a statement about God's mercy and God having mercy. Although we see the reason for us to have mercy would be to be like God. But it's a statement for us to have mercy. So then if it's a statement for us to have mercy, then does it mean that God wants us to have mercy, but to not to do any work? Not to do any of these things like He was teaching them? Should the Jews not have given sacrifice? Well, sacrifice is wrong. Should we, God want us to show mercy, but not to teach others to do sacrifices, to do these works? No, but if you look, you'll see in the Old Testament, you see in Exodus, in Leviticus, and in Numbers, you see that the sacrifices there, those sacrifices of the law, were instituted by God. They came from God. God does approve of those sacrifices. He does want those sacrifices that He ordained, that He asked for. God has approved for sacrifices for a long time. Look all the way back at Abel. Cain and Abel, they both brought a sacrifice. And Abel, by his sacrifice, he's in the chapter of the faith chapter. Hebrews Hall of Faith sometimes is called. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness to his that he is righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So his sacrifice, God accepted. So I don't think we could say that it means that there should have been no sacrifice and that we should only have mercy. But I think when he says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, it's really making a comparison. It really means, I believe, that God wants to have mercy. He wants us to have mercy more than He wants our sacrifice. It's this comparison, similar to the comparison that Samuel told Saul. Back in the book of Samuel, when Samuel didn't wait on Saul like he should, but instead he went and he says he forced himself to make the sacrifice, even though it was not his to make, his duty to do. And Samuel, and then after that he went out and to the Amalekites, and he brought back the king, and he brought back things that he should not. And he said he brought it back for a sacrifice. And Samuel made that comparison there for him. He says, has the Lord as great as delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity or idolatry. Because ye have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. So, to obey the voice of the Lord, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To make a sacrifice when he was not obeying, and that was the problem there, and I believe that's the problem that he's talking about here, is this sacrifice that is not really from the heart. It's not really right. But instead, it does not have the mercy. It's just a ceremonial thing. And we will study this, and let's look some more. Let's look at some of these definitions. Mercy would be, sometimes we call it loving kindness. It's a kind of love. Mercy, we call it compassion. But it's love that's shown to the suffering. This way I would put a definition on mercy is love that's shown to the suffering. Look at sacrifice. Sometimes sacrifice may be used in a more general sense, and it meaning that it's any giving, that we make a sacrifice. We give of ourselves. But sometimes this sacrifice is used in a more specific way, in that it's the prescribed sacrifices of the law. Kind of a ceremonial sacrifice. And that's what he's talking about here. Jeremiah talks about sacrifice in more of a general way, and he says, bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. But sometimes, a lot of times whenever we read sacrifice, it's talking about those sacrifices that were ordained. Those ceremonial, religious ceremony sacrifices. Those specific ones from the old law. And here, I think that's what he's talking about. And the reason why he says that's not what he wants is that he wants it from the heart that's right. He wants it that's done right. If you look at, we've looked before in Psalm 50 when he talks about the things there, the sacrifice, and not with abundance, but he wanted thanksgiving and he wanted paying of vows. And he said there that, why does the wicked speak my statutes not done from the right heart? Is why God does not want this sacrifice that Jesus is referencing here. And there's many places, as we look for this reference, where was Jesus talking about? I will have mercy and not sacrifice, that they should go and learn from. There are many references in the Old Law that are in the Old Testament, many of those writings that say something similar to that. As we mentioned already, Psalms 50, and then there's Jeremiah 7, mentions something like this, and in Isaiah he talks about some things like this. In Isaiah chapter 1 he says, bring no more the vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me, and the new moon and Sabbath and eating and the calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. He says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I weary to bear them. So we see here how this is a similar reference, saying that he didn't want these things. He didn't want these things, and that they were a burden to him, and that his soul hated them. That God didn't want these things, even though these were the things that he had asked for. The problem was that it's a comparison. The problem was that they were not doing it from the right heart. Proverbs 21 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, again, we see a similar thing here. It says here, though, it says, more acceptable than sacrifice, to do justice and judgment. But I believe what Jesus is quoting here is from Hosea. If you want to turn to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea in chapter 6, and look in verse 6 is where Jesus quotes this from. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Hosea is one of the minor, what they call the minor prophets, as they divide the different books up, and you'll see that here it's the first of the minor prophets in our Bible. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God is more than burnt offering. So we see here again, there is this comparison, more than burnt offering. Let's start back in the first verse of Hosea chapter 6, and let's read this and see what we can learn about this prophet Hosea and what he's saying here in this context, and see if we see the pretentious and the insincere. He says in verse 1, he says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then look at verse 3. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain on the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. I think that this statement would be indicating of their not being sincere with this. Here as it says, your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. So it's saying here there, come and call upon him and he will revive us again. But it seems like their goodness is just going to vanish away. It's just something that would be for a short time, for a show maybe. And if we look at verse 5, he says, therefore have I hewn them by the prophet. I have slain them by the word of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. In verse 6 it says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God is more than burnt offerings. The burnt offerings would be one of those sacrifices from the old law. The burnt offerings would be, I guess, the biggest sacrifice, because they would give many of those sacrifices, but they would give it and then they would put it on there, and the priest would take some of it off, and some of it, as they would give it, they give a portion, and the priests were sustained, they were kept by this portion that they gave in their sacrifices. That's what the priest and the Levite, and that's what they had. But the burnt offering, I guess that one was more, because it's more holy to God. It's more completely given to God. You take it and it's burnt there, and it's completely burnt. But he says the knowledge of God is more than the burnt offering. So we see this comparison. And as he talks about, he desires mercy and not sacrifice. It's a matter of getting those priorities right and understanding and having the right mind and the right heart to have a true knowledge of God and not just of giving these ceremonial sacrifices. If we continue reading verse 7, it says, but they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for men, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent. For they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is a whoredom in Ephraim. Israel is defiled. So you see the state that God saw them. They were defiled. They were not doing right. There was this iniquity. There was not goodness. And that's why God was not accepting their sacrifice. He did not want that. He did not want this sacrifice. And you see that comparison there of the knowledge of God. He said there was no knowledge of God back in verse 4. If you look and just flip back over to Hosea chapter 4 and look at verse 1 and 2, he says, hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, committing adultery, and breaking all bonds, and bloodshed calls bloodshed. I think that's the ESV version that I was reading here. ESV, the King James Version, says, and blood touches blood. You see the shape of the people there, and that's That was the reason for the statement that God wanted mercy, not sacrifice. God wants that right heart and not just ceremonial sacrifices, not pretentious worship that's really self-worship. Instead of outwardly obeying God, He wants us to obey inwardly. Inward obedience. And don't think that we can manipulate God with ceremonial worship. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees many times, and He says this in Luke chapter 11, verse 35, as He's correcting the Pharisees. Luke chapter 11, verse 39 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Now ye Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. And woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These things else ye have done, and not leave the other undone." So in their things that they were doing, the tithing that they were giving, and this is similar to the sacrifices, they were giving alms. They were giving the mint, the rue, all manner of herbs, he says, but they were passing over these things that would be more weightier, the judgment, love of God. And he says they ought to do both, to have a true inward obedience and to obey from the heart. Obey from the heart. That's what Romans chapter 6 says that those had done. He said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." They obeyed from the heart. Their heart was changed. And they obeyed that form of doctrine. They were changed. They were the servants of sin. And the servants of righteousness. No longer the servants of sin. And we need to look at these things and have a knowledge of God. And realize that that's what God wants, is us to show mercy. He wants us to show His attributes. And we should see in ourselves the attributes of God. And we should want to have those attributes, like we said, mercy. Realize that as followers of Christ, we should be showing the attributes of God. Now I want to read one other place where this is, he looks at the same thing in Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Another place in the prophets where he's saying something similar, but he goes on to answer the question even more. As he looks at what will we give the Lord and how do we give our offering, our sacrifices, he goes on and he answers this question of what shall we bring come before the Lord. Look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offering and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And then he comes to the answer of this question. Verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God." And that's our sermon this morning, that we need to take and to know, what does this mean, that God would want mercy. He shall have mercy and not sacrifice. And so we need to find that occasion to show mercy, to be a true Christian and to have an honest relationship with God and to show true worship of God in showing the nature attributes of God in ourselves,
and not a ceremonial thing that would come from the outside, but from the inside.
And now as we